For tonight, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter number 28. We're going to read verses 19 and 20. I'm going to continue to speak to us on this, basically in the same theme of a heart for souls, loving souls, and going to start tonight on talking about caring for souls, caring for those that come in, those that pray through, our new converts, etc. I'm sincerely not going to hold you long this evening at all. I thought I was going to make it through this trip without bringing anything special home from Brazil. They have so many. The day I was getting on the plane, I kind of started feeling it flow, and I went, ah. When you're up late at night, you lay down at 2:30, 3 a.m. in the morning, you get up early the following morning, you do that 4 or 5 days in a row, wears you down a little. But I tell you what, it's worth it. What a wonderful, we'll try to show just a couple small clips on Sunday concerning it. But it was just incredible every night. We were there to honor Brother DeMerchant. He is, or has been in Brazil, a residence in Brazil for 50 years. He is the longest resident missionary ever in the history of the United Pentecostal Church. Amen. And that deserves honor, doesn't it? But I tell you, he didn't just go there for a vacation. When he went there, the city he was in, Manaus, had one church. Today it has 200 churches. 200. And there were only a handful of churches in the entire country of Brazil, and today there's 1,300 churches in Brazil. Isn't that awesome? Incredible, incredible, incredible. And what great services we had, between 8,000 and 10,000 people that came to celebrate. We had hundreds upon hundreds receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and it was just a wonderful time. Thank you. I want to say thank you for letting me go, by the way. It's your kindness that allows us to go. But we heard you guys had great church on Sunday. We had several have received the Holy Ghost, several baptized. We baptized another 4 or 5. And the Sunday before that, Brother Robinette was here. We had 50 people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, 12 baptized in Jesus' name. So, Lord, in the last 2 weeks, we've had nearly 60 people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and about 20 baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's worth a little bit of a shout, a little bit of hand clap, a little bit of praise. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Amen. Matthew, look at your neighbor and say, that's a lot of babies. Tell somebody else, that's a lot of stinky diapers. Yeah, I'll tell someone near you. And guess who's got to change them? Amen. Matthew 28 and verse number 19. So I'm going to tell you ahead of time. Please forgive me if while I speak I cough a little. I'll try to do it as discreetly as I can. But I'm just going to warn you ahead of time that, you know, that may happen. But it certainly won't affect the word. Go ye therefore and teach. Everyone say, and teach. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. So the Lord gives a command to his disciples. Now, these were not just 12 disciples. When God was speaking these words right before his ascension, the Bible tells us a little later in Scripture that there were about 500 people here. Only 120 of them made it to the upper room. So we lost over two-thirds between watching Jesus ascend up into heaven, into the clouds, And somewheres along the journey between where they were in the upper room, when he said, go to Jerusalem and tarry until you're endued with power from on high, 380 people disappeared. How can you go from watching this guy go up into the clouds and then just a few days later, few small events, 380 of them don't even make it to the upper room where he said, or in New Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, where he said the promise would be poured out. So we don't want to get discouraged that everybody doesn't stay. However, those that do, we want to make sure that we do everything we can to equip them to become a part of the kingdom of God. Amen. Lord, we need you tonight. Just speak to our hearts and our spirits. And Father, it's my prayer that every person in this building tonight would just become a discipler, someone that takes someone into their life spiritually and physically, emotionally, in every facet, and just begins to work with them and disciple them and train them to be a great, mighty warrior of the kingdom. Lord, just begin to work upon us, work upon our hearts and our minds and our spirits, that we would rearrange our lives and that the kingdom would become first in our life, and that our own lust and greed and wants and desires would become second, and that they would fall down the line, and the things of the kingdom would make their way up the ladder of our life, and they would become the most important things. Lord Jesus, that is my prayer, that you would turn Tabernacle of Pentecost into a birthing place, but also a place where we raise up great and mighty men and women of the Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. God bless you. Clap your hands to the Lord. You may be seated. All right. So the Lord gives some commands here. And he says to go and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And of course, through studying of scriptures, we know that that name is Jesus. And to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So the disciples were commanded to go out and teach. We taught on this a couple of years ago from the same set of scriptures. And they were commanded to go out and teach. And then after you teach, you baptize, because it doesn't make any sense to be buried in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins if you have absolutely no knowledge of why you are being baptized. In fact, you cannot be baptized until you have repented, because baptism is for the remission of sins, but we must first have repented of our sins so that we can be forgiven of our sins. And then when we are baptized, it is for the remission of those sins. So we are to teach, and then after we teach or preach, whether it's Bible studies or whether we bring them to the house of God and they hear the preaching of the word and they're convicted and they respond and they come down to the altar and they pray through to the Holy Ghost. After they teach, and then the word of the Lord says, then you take them and you baptize them. And that's what we did 2 weeks ago. Brother Robinette was here, and he got up and he preached from his ironclad famous scriptures in the second chapter of the book of Acts. And he talked about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the infilling. And he stirred up faith in the house of God, and people, saints of God, got excited, and sinners got excited and enthused that they could receive this power into their life. And so they responded and they came down to the altar. And so we have this pattern here. The teaching, and then when the teaching goes out, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word of the Lord. So when the teaching of the word of the Lord goes out, faith enters into the heart. And when faith enters into the heart, then they are able to respond to what they heard. And they reach out to God, and in their reaching, the Lord comes down, fills them with his power. And then we march them right out there. We bring them into the room down the hallway, and we put them in this beautiful little blue robe, and then we march them right back out, and we march them up the steps, and we march them down into the water, and we sit down and we put them down in the name of Jesus, the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The old man goes down, the new man comes out. Behold, all things have become new. They're a new creature in Christ. They come out, they throw their hands in the air. Many of them, if they haven't already received the Holy Ghost, they'll begin to speak in tongues in the water. But if they've already received it, maybe they'll be renewed, and the glory of God is there, and everybody begins to worship, and everyone's excited, and we walk them up out of the water, back down the steps, right back down the hallway, and we bring them in the bathroom. They change, they dry off, they get back in their old clothes, and that's it, they're done. And they never hear from us again. And most of them die because babies can't feed themselves. We get out there around the incubator, or whatever you want to call that thing out there. We walk into the delivery room, if you please. And we watch God bring forth from the mother, that's you and I. So you can't disconnect yourself from them. You are the church. Amen? Say, I am the church. Say, I am the mother. It doesn't matter whether we're the one that actually witnessed to them, or the one that brought them to church, or it doesn't matter. You are a part of the body. We are a part of the church. We are the mother, the Bible says. And we go into the incubator, and we go into the delivery room, and we birth children. And then we throw them right back into the world where they came from. And the only one that gives them a call is pastor. The only one that works and tries to find out where they are is pastor. It never crosses your mind again, where's my baby? Well, I should have stayed in Brazil, huh? So this is what has to change. Somehow the mentality of this whole church has to change. And that it's not just a few select people that are supposed to be concerned about that. I shouldn't have to hand you information. You ought to be coming up to me and saying, what's her name? What's her number? Does she have an email address? How can I get a hold of her? What can I do? You ought to be badgering me to get this information. And we have it. And we'll give it to you. In fact, my wife sends a lot of that information out. But I've already been preaching on this for several weeks. I've been teaching and talking to us. The problem is we are wrapped up in ourselves. Now, I know I'm talking to the cream of the crop tonight, but if I can't get you to do it, what hope do you think I have getting the Sunday morning crowd to do it? If I can't break us out of our selfishness, if I can't break us out of our mode that every day is about us, every prayer is about us, every woe is about us, every pain is about us, every concern is about us, every need is about us. And the fact that 60 people have prayed through the Holy Ghost in the last 2 weeks doesn't even cross our mind. The fact that probably not one of them is in this building tonight. And maybe even less, or I can't get less than none, I guess, but I can't say it that way. But but that even on Sunday, not all 60 of them will be here. Now, I know some of us work a little, but you just let me spank you anyway. You just get in line. Trust me, if I'm not whooping you for this, it's because I need to be whooping you for something I don't know. So we all deserve a whooping, whether it's the right thing or not. That's why I never complained too much when I was young and got whoopings, because I might not have been guilty for what Dad was whooping me for, but I knew I was guilty for about 98 other things he didn't know about. You know, it's like the church started a softball team. We've been having a lot of fun. We got some great supporters. And it would be like if the team and the cheerleaders, I can call you that, our supporters, it's almost like the only thing that we ever would ever get excited about is the fact that they made it to first base. That they got a hit. Made it to first. And we'd all shout and rejoice because we got 20 people on first base. And we didn't get none of them home. But we had 20 people make it to first. I got news for you. You're going to lose every game. I don't care if you get 1,000 people on first. The object is to get them to second, third, and home before you get three outs. And we're getting excited because we're getting people to first base. We get them into repentance. And then we get a little more excited because we might get some of them to second base. And we get them into baptism, third base, Holy Ghost. Folks, we got to get them home or there's no points. Well, what is home? Home is discipleship. Home is where they're grounded, where they mature and they become Christians. And their life changes. And then the next thing you know, they're teaching Bible studies. They're loving others. And that takes work. How many of you ever had babies? Men and women, I'm talking about. And if you were married and your wife had one. Of course, in today's world, I could say all kinds of other things. But how many of y'all know what it is to have a baby around? Let me just say that. You have one in your home or, you know. Did you just get up every day and go about your normal life? You didn't worry about the little brat? Don't take long. He'll let you know. Hey, I'm in here. My diaper's dirty. And I am hungry. And I don't care what order you give me the attention in. I want them both. No, you can't. Listen, when you have children, I tell people get married. I tell them, I say, listen, you know, if they're younger and not older, if they're in their 20s, I'll say, you need to wait 4 or 5 years unless you just for some reason feel compelled. Or you're insane. But you need to wait 4 or 5 years before you have your first child. Now, if you're already in your 30s or whatever, that's okay. But I'm talking about youngins. And I tell them the reason why, because let me tell you something. When that first baby comes along, everything changes. And nothing will ever be the same again. You won't be able to just grab things and say, let's go. You'll say, oh, that's right, Johnny. Alamakadika Toke is in the room. We gotta get her. And now you're not packing for you. In fact, you're just this, you know. This is you. Your coat, your tie, your jacket. No. But when you pack for Johnny, huh? Yeah. All right, come on. Yeah. Come on. And the husband's about, he's about, the husband's about 15 feet up going, you need some help, baby? Don't do it, David. Lex is a kill you. Yeah. and all this other junk. I mean, you see them, come on, daddy, mama, they wear them out front. They got two up front and one in the back, and they're, you know, walking around. They got the bag on the shoulder, and they're pulling the stroller behind, and they're, you know, all kinds of, you know, all kinds of, and none of that's for them. That's all for the little guy. He's this big. And he needs all of this stuff. Why? Because he can't do anything for himself. Mom and dad's got to do everything for that baby. And so life changes when children come around. We want to pray for revival. We want to seek God for revival, and we do. And we're one of the greatest revival churches in this country. I'll tell you that right now. And there's a reason why a lot of pastors say I for and no more, because they know trouble comes with new converts. All of a sudden, phone starts ringing, and you're having to answer questions you haven't had to answer in years. When's the last time you had to tell somebody why the sky is blue? Why the, why the waves foam? And all the questions that kids ask. When you start taking care of kids, you can't go anywheres without them. And that's where we're missing it as a church. And I'm going to tell you, even greater than that, that's why you don't do it. It's why you don't have anybody in your life that you're discipling for Jesus Christ. You have nobody. Because you don't want them. They're trouble. They're burdensome. They're annoying. You can't go where you used to go, do what you used to do. You can't act like you used to act. Everything in your life has to change. And that's why we don't have them. Because it's about us. And we don't want nothing to mess with that. Yeah, I don't care how bad that hurts. You clap your hands to the Lord. I tell you what. I don't know what the Lord's going to say to us, Tabernacle of Pentecost, when we get to heaven. And we got our little 600 members over here in our corner. We made it. And the Lord points, and there's 15,000 people over there. Huge, huge crowd. Who are they, Lord? Oh, don't worry about them. They're all the ones that simply came through your labor room. They're all the people that spoke in tongues in your altar, walked through your altars, and you just never paid any attention to them. Don't worry about them. They won't be bothering you in heaven because they didn't stay around long. I'm telling you, I think God looks down on all of this stuff. And if every one of us don't change the way we live when it comes to taking care of a soul, we're in for a rude awakening. I don't know how to make it any plainer than I'm making it tonight. In love. You got to ask yourself the question. When's the last time you seriously took someone into your spiritual bosom and cared for them until they matured? You go to places. And you sit down at a restaurant. Everything's nice and quiet. Then all of a sudden, here they come. You're just having a good meal. And here they come. And you go, what's the matter with them people? They don't know what causes that. And they walk into your nice, peaceful little restaurant. And they sit down at a table right next to you. And they got three brats. And all of a sudden, it's not nice and quiet anymore. They're a nuisance, aren't they? I was on the plane coming home. Thank God for Bose. Quiet ear things. Noise cancellation. Thank you, brother. Aren't you supposed to be somewhere else? Noise cancellation headphones. I put them things on. And that little brat, that little precious baby in front of me, one seat up over, started screaming because the air pressure was changing in the cabin. And you could tell all the parents, everybody else, they're all around, you know, looking, when they gonna shut that little kid up? My son, some man, get the stewards, put a cracker in his mouth. I just put on my headphones, lean back, I go back to my peaceful little world. You can't, it's a nuisance to have a baby. It's a nuisance. And you're probably... You take on the burdensome of caring for someone, and there's no doubt that you're gonna walk into places and things that you used to do, and here's your spiritual protege, is that what they call that, protege? What? Entourage? I don't know what an entourage is. Yeah. Protege, my word's better. Padawan. Yeah, and it just changes everything. Folks, we've had 60 people receive the Holy Ghost in the last 2 weeks. That probably didn't happen in any other church in the United States of America. Even the big ones in the last 2 weeks. Unless Robinette was there. So we have to do something. Pastor is diligently laboring, putting something together. My department heads have received emails. I thank you for the ones that have responded. Putting together a program that, excuse me, I'm sorry, coughing the mic. Where if, Wanda, stand up. So Wanda walks into the, how old are you, Wanda? 22, 23, 25? Wanda walks into the house of God. She's got a couple kids with her. It's just her and her two kids. She's single. She has her two kids with her. She comes in. She prays through. She don't have to, she just visits. But let's say she repents and gets the Holy Ghost, gets baptized. Do you know how many people in this church should immediately be involved in her life? The youth pastor should immediately be involved in her life because she has two children, fit in that age group. The singles director should be involved in her life because even though she has children, she's single. The ladies auxiliary ought to be involved in her life because she's a lady. And depending on her age, whether she's old or young, whether... the seniors would be involved in her life, or whether someone, well, no. I didn't mean that, darling. So what we're trying to do is put together this program that when someone prays through, every social status of their life is immediately exposed to the departments of this church that should impact this person. But that means every one of you have to be involved. Because you have 60 people pray through the Holy Ghost in 2 weeks. And then Sister Dawn, I think it's Sister Dawn, right, with the seniors? Sister Dawn, right? Sister Jared? Yeah, Dawn Carey. And only three seniors are being involved. and we got 15 seniors that prayed through, how's she going to take care of that? So we need everyone to be involved in whatever area of the church that you fit, that where you are in life socially, where do you fit? Old, young, what, married, single, mean, nice. We got departments for everybody. And you got to get involved in that because we need you to start caring for these kids. All right, let me get back to my message. And see where I'm at here. Oh, point one, I hadn't got there yet. We're just laying a foundation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, the word of the Lord says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, can you imagine waking up into a brand new world and you don't know how anything works? You don't know what's up or what's down. You don't know what's coming or what's going. What do you think it would mean to you if you showed up in a city and it's the first time you've ever been in a city? Now, in my case, you can live in that city for 20 years and it doesn't make much difference. However, most people are a little bit better than that. But you show up in a city, it's your first time you're ever there, and you don't even really speak their language. How helpful would it be if someone came up alongside you who spoke the language and knew the city and you could trust and they said, where would you like to go? What would you like to know? What would you like to see? How much better would that make you feel? Well, it's not much difference than people that have lived in the world all their life and all of a sudden they come through, they get this unbelievable experience. God delivers them from nicotine or delivers them from alcohol or delivers them from drugs or immoral life or whatever it may be that he brings them out of this world. They're baptized in Jesus' name. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. And then the following service, all they know is they had an incredible, powerful experience. And they come back and they walk into this church and we're all here, you know, filling this building up on Sunday morning. We're shouting and juking and jiving, having a wonderful time. And he walks in and he or she, and they don't have a clue because they've never lived in this city before. Behold, all things have become new. But someone walks up to them and takes them by the hand and says, hey, Susie. Hey, Johnny. Man, wasn't it awesome last week? God filled you with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Come on, come sit down by me. And then they kind of watch you and they clap when you clap and they tap when you tap. And what are they doing? They're just learning how to get to the 7-Eleven. They're just trying to learn how to get around a little bit and figure things out. They've asked your pastor to come back this next coming year to preach a missions conference, and then they want me to do the next four in a row in the different quadrants of Brazil. But I told them, I said, I will not go anywhere that Daniel doesn't come with me. Daniel Borges is an interpreter, and he knows American colloquialism very well, and so he's a great interpreter. I can pretty much just get up and preach using normal, thank you, vernacular. Boy, everybody's having to help pastor out here tonight. And he can take that and he'll translate it and he'll use the words that they understand that matches what I'm trying to say. And then he'll turn it and he'll put it into their concept of thinking because I'm coming from an American concept. But he's an incredible interpreter. And so I said, yeah, I'll I'll go into the different quadrants of Brazil, but only if Daniel comes with me, because I need to know I've got somebody with me that's walking with me that can bring me through all of this and understands how I think and where I've come from. And listen, folks, that's what they need. There's not, none of us have forgotten what it means to live in the world. We understand the world. We came out of the world, but we also understand what it means to live in the kingdom of God. They're coming out of the world. They don't have a clue what it means to live in the kingdom of God, and they need us to help them to adjust and to live for God. They need an ear that they can talk to when they're burdened, weighed down. They need a hand they can hold or a shoulder they can cry on. Because listen, every one of us know, just because you get the Holy Ghost doesn't mean life becomes great. Life is full of trouble. The Bible says there are still very difficult times. But I'm preaching against brick wall tonight, and I know that. Because even after tonight, I will be amazed if one of you actually begin to try to change your life to let someone else in. We hear message after message after message, and we do nothing about it. We get excited, we shout, we run, we dance. All those things are good. And we need them all. And we'll do it on Sunday. I'll dance with you. I'll run with you. I'll shout with you. I'm just saying, open your life up enough to bring one person in. But Brother Kyle, you don't know the trouble that I'm personally going through. Listen, you will never not have trouble. There will never be a moment in your life where you will stand and say, you know what? Everything's in order. I think I'll disciple a soul. That'll never happen. The devil will make sure of that. He'll always have trouble in your life. There's always going to be difficulties, always going to be hardships. You're never going to have enough time. You're never going to be knowledgeable enough. You'll never have the finances. You'll never have the energy. You'll never have any of these things. So just do it. And you'll be amazed at the results, if you will, if you just let someone into your life. You know, we've been teaching on this for quite a few weeks now. And I said a few months ago that you don't have to look outside of this church to disciple someone. This coming Sunday morning, there'll be at least 150 people that need discipling. At least 150 people that need discipling. Well, who do I go to? Who do I choose? Why don't you just pray about it and watch God connect you in some form or fashion that you can begin to work in a person's life. It's not the will of God that five people do everything. The body grows for a reason. And if the body was healthy and every one of us was doing what we're supposed to do, this building would not be able to hold us even if we were having three services. It'd be full all three times. But we're not doing what we're supposed to do. We're just trying to save ourselves. We're all self-saviors. We're just trying to do everything we can to save us. Because we've never gotten beyond the point in our own life. And I haven't even touched my message tonight, but there's scriptures in here that I was going to talk about that talks about, you know, the milk. Paul comes back to the church of Corinth and also the church of Ephesus. But in the church of Corinth, he says, I should be coming to you with some steak that you can chew on. But he said, instead, I still have to give you milk. And do you know what the characteristic that Paul used to describe a baby? He said, this is how I know you're still drinking milk. You are carnal. You are still carnal in your thinking. He said, I want to feed you a meal, but I can't. So the word of the Lord says that when we come into Christ, that we are new creatures. Old things are passed away and all things become new. 60 people went down in the water and came out new creatures in Christ in the last 2 weeks. Everything is new to them. They don't understand any of this. Somebody has to take them by the hand and help them. Now, thank the Lord, Brother Brian, Paul, and Brother Luma. You know, we've had this group of people that have been coming with Sister Kelly. And Brother Brian, Paul, and Brother Luma weekly, I believe, maybe twice a week, I don't know. Or going there and they're having Bible studies with them. They had Bible study yesterday, I believe it was. There was 16, 17 in it, and the week before. And now, some of these young men, you've seen them, they gather up here, they get together in groups, and they pray. Now these same young men are already just a few weeks old, and they're already going out and inviting families to come to the house of God. One of the young men has two families coming this weekend, and they're trying to get into the lives of these parents, of these teenagers, and get them in Bible studies and pray. Look how fast the results came because two people took the time out to go and teach them Bible studies. I want you to say, I have to make this personal. You cannot hide in the crowd tonight. You have to make this personal. And you've got to ask yourself the question. First question is there anyone in my life right now who I am personally discipling? And I am not talking about your children. You will disciple them forever. You know exactly what I'm. Is there anyone in your life that you are actually discipling? And I am not talking about that you bump into every once in a while or you say something to them at work. I'm talking about you call them every day. You're giving Bible studies. You're answering spiritual questions for them. You are involved in their life. You're having lunch with them. You're doing things. You have rearranged your schedule in order to ground this individual in Christ. And I guarantee you, if I had you stand tonight, for those of you that could answer yes to that question, I could count you on one hand. Because even though we are involved in church and we are faithful to church and we are tithe givers and we are still wrapped up in ourselves. When we walk out that door, it's about us. It's about our family. It's about our needs. And all that's important. But somewheres in there, we have to make room for someone to come into our life. God didn't give you that beautiful home for you to just sit in it every day and enjoy your dining room table and the luxuries of your house. He gave you that so that maybe once a week you would have a Bible study in it. That you'd invite someone over to sit at your table and be good and kind to them and feed them. He didn't give you your car so you could drive around all by yourself all the time and show up at church all by yourself in your car. I'm not talking about your spouse and your children. I'm talking about someone else, and you come to the house of God and you never bother to bring anyone to the house of the Lord because it's always about us. And I know I live in the same bubble. I live in the house with you. I'm not throwing rocks because I live in the house. I'm not pointing. I got three coming at me for every one going at you. Four in my case. So if this is going to change, you have to take this personal. And you can't walk out of here tonight and say, well, I'll pray about it. You don't have to pray about it. Discipling the soul doesn't need prayer. It needs action. It needs action. I'm going to close in a second. Some characteristics of babies. I really don't want to get into this. I might wait for next Wednesday. I better not say that. Y'all, probably none of y'all come back. That we henceforth be no more children. So here are the things that happen to kids. This is why you have to be involved. This is why that every new convert that prays through in our altar must have a mature, stable saint involved in their life. Listen what Paul says to the church of Ephesus. That we henceforth be no more children. Don't be like a child. So what are the characteristics that he defines as children? Tossed to and fro. That's why they got to have somebody there to hold them. Because if not, the adversary is going to come into their life and they're going to be tossed to and fro. And this is what you're going to hear from them. You might give them a call and say, hey, man, we missed you Sunday. What's up? Yeah, you know, I was going to be there, but my car broke down. I was going to be there, but my cousin came in town. And I was going to be there, but this went wrong. But that went wrong. But this happened. Oh, I got sick. What's happening? They're being tossed to and fro. And Satan knows that his children, he can toss them to and fro. They'll never get direction. They'll never be able to focus. And they'll never grow in God. And it won't take long at all that they'll die and just fade away. But if you've got someone in there, come here, Jim. Stand up, Jim. You got someone's come into that young man's life, and adversity comes against them, and then here's the spiritual child of God, and here's the new convert, and I'm being tossed, but boom, I've got something I come up against. And who is that? That's Jim talking to me about God and what's happening. Tossed to and fro, and I'm fixing to go back, but he catches me and he pulls me back in and hangs in there. So it's not too easy for me to be tossed to and fro with a big old fella like this standing next to me. Of course, I'm talking spiritually. Amen? And so thank you, Jim. They're children. And the Bible says one of the signs of a child is that they're being tossed to and fro. And when they pray through and they get baptized in Jesus' name, things begin to happen in their life. You know this. All hell broke loose in your life when you got in the church. You'd have thought the church was perfect. The religious world preaches it that way. Get in the church and everything's going to be perfect. Yeah, because the devil's not going to mess with you. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you've never been baptized in Jesus, if you're not really living for God, he ain't going to mess with you. He's happy you're called up in whatever you're called up in. But you get someone that prays through, and now they've got a weapon on the inside of them that if they ever learn how to use it, it'll bring all kinds of damage to the kingdom of Satan. And he knows that. And so he's going to come in immediately while they are young, while they're easy to deceive. Wow, they're easy to be tossed to and fro. He's going to come in there. And the only thing that's going to save this person is if there's someone in their life that has planted their feet in this truth, and you're strong and you're stable and you understand adversity and you understand all of the things that come against you, but you live for God anyway, and you wrap your arms around them and you walk with them through the storm. But that takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. He said, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. That's what happens to kids. So how do we fix that? You've got to get somebody in their life that knows the doctrine. You've got to get someone in their life that understands that Jesus is one. There's only one Lord. Someone that understands separation and can slowly and gently lead them in the right direction. You've got to get someone that is grounded in the Word of God into their life so that when they're tossed to and fro, you can stabilize them. And so that when winds of doctrines come around, you can open up the Word of God and say, no. No, no, no. Here's what the Word says about that. Let's go back to the Word of God. And you bring stability in their life. And then it goes on to say, carried about by every wind of doctrine and by the sleight of men. It happens all the time. Nobody, the family was never concerned about this person until they prayed through to the Holy Ghost. And now all of a sudden everybody's concerned about them. Oh, you don't need to be going to church over there. You need to be coming to church over here with us. Oh, you don't need to be long. No, no. This is all of a sudden every spiritual person in that family is involved in that person's life. And they're all in error. And they're all in false doctrine. And not one of them ever said a word to them about God until they prayed through to the Holy Ghost and got baptized in Jesus' name. And then the devil stirred up every one of them to do what? Bring all kinds of winds of doctrine into their life. And to bring deception of men into their life. And the only way that they're going to survive and the only way they're going to make it is if we get involved in their lives. We change our life enough that we, I'm not asking you to let 10 people in. I'm asking you to let one. I'd be excited if you just let one into your life. To disciple them so that they can become strong in Christ. By the sleight of men, cunning and craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's what happens when they pray through and they get baptized. All of a sudden, to and fro, winds of doctrine, sleight of men, lies, cunningness and craftiness, waiting to deceive. And we're just going to throw them back out there and expect them to show up next Sunday and expect them to just start serving God. Now, I know we're not going to keep them all. Jesus didn't keep them all. 500 watched him go up. 120 made it. But I don't want to lose the ones that can make it. That's the part that bothers me, is that we don't know which ones can or can't because we ain't taking care of nobody. And you're going to spend time working in people's lives, and you're going to lose them anyway. You're not going to win them all. You're not going to keep them all. But there's some out there that will stay. For everyone that uses milk, and it's 8:18, I'll try to close. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful. These babies are unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Okay? So you don't take these precious children and start dressing them and start yelling at them about all kinds of things that took you 15 years to catch on to. You're just there to help them. Walk with them, strengthen them, be a comfort to them, put them in the Word of God, answer questions. These other things will come. And I, brethren, this is in Corinthians chapter 3, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. When they come through and pray through, and they don't come out all spiritually minded. I mean, folks, come on. I've baptized them in Jesus' name. They speak in tongues in the water, come up out of the baptistry, and they're all excited, and they're talking to me, and they sit there and cuss while they're talking to me. It's just their language. That hasn't changed yet. I wasn't offended by that. Now, does it change? Of course it does. As they go and grow in Christ. And in fact, a lot of times they'll do it and they'll say, oh, I probably shouldn't have said that. I'll tell them, say, well, strike one. Carnal minded. So we have to help them to become spiritually minded. And that takes time. And if you have a tutor, it helps. You know, everybody goes to the class, but the kids that excel are the ones who have tutors. People that can help them at home or after school to really catch the concepts of what's going on. He said, I fed you milk and not meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Now, Paul's chewing them out because they didn't grow up. But the points that I'm pulling out of here is that children can't bear meat. Don't shove meat down their throat. Be patient. Be kind. Go slow with them. Don't be offended because they're still involved in an area that you think is sinful. Give them time to grow out of these things. Don't try to turn them into an Apostle Paul in 2 weeks. Let them grow up spiritually. God will give you wisdom. He'll help you to know when to be a little more firm. You know when that little slap on the hand should be a little more firm on that baby? Back of the hand. All right, let's stand. I'm gonna stop there. So it's been heavy on Pastor. And I know tonight's a little straight, but dear Lord, I've been preaching this for 8 months. And the same people that have always done it are still doing it. And nobody else has changed. You have got to ask yourself the question, do I have someone in my life right now that I am discipling? And if you don't, you need to fix that. You need to get someone that you're going to disciple. And I am not even talking about going out and find someone to bring them in and let them pray through. I'm talking about the 150 people that have prayed through in the last few months in this church that need someone in their life more than what they have now, more than just the hearing of the word of the Lord. I understand that some make it. You know, there's a few of them that they're just built out of that kind of character or whatever you want to call it. They come in, they pray through, they stay faithful. Brother Jermaine showed up. How long you been coming down, Brother Jermaine? 9 months. He showed up right back here, and after a few services, if I remember right, came down. He got the Holy Ghost. We baptized him in Jesus' name. And that boy never moved from that spot. Well, actually, he's moved today. He's up front. But you sit right back there a few rows back, right in the center. And every service, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday. And I don't know. Maybe there was someone in your life. I don't know. But Brother Powell. There you go. So here he is. And now, 9 months later, I guarantee you, Jermaine has the ability to disciple someone else. He came up to me. We went out the door, and he came up, and he said, Pastor, he said, I don't want you to be offended if I walk out in the middle of your message. And he said, but it's my lunch break. I'm working today. So as soon as I got off lunch, I came to church, and I have to leave in time to get back to work before my lunch break's over. Came to church on his lunch break. Personally, I probably wouldn't have done that. That's when you know. He got it. This is it. And I would have to say that the people that came in and prayed through and have made it home, we didn't just bat them the first. Let them steal the second. That's how most of ours get to second. They steal there. We don't even bat them there. They just steal the base. He came all the way in. These people, more than likely, had someone in their life. Someone that called them, spoke with them, worked with them, went through the problems and the situations and the dilemmas with them. And so we have to, what pastor's trying to do is get this beyond accident. And I want to turn it into purpose. That these are things that we are doing on purpose. So your homework tonight is that you are to go home and you're to ask yourself the question. You already know the answer, but you ask it anyway. Is there someone in my life that I am discipling? And you heard of enough teaching in the last few weeks that you know what discipleship means. I'm not talking casual acquaintance. I mean you are purposely involved in someone's life to better them for Jesus Christ. And if you are not discipling someone, you need to ask God to help you in the next few days of your life to get someone that you can get attached to. And it might even take a little while to get really in their life, but go after it. It'll be the best thing you ever did. Best thing. Most of us, we just come to church and we just do our best to survive. We need to get someone in our life. It will fulfill you more than anything you can imagine that you are discipling someone for Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for the word tonight. These are wonderful people. And it's the gold that you put in the fire to help purify us until, as the silversmith says, when he can see his image in the silver, it's time to take it out. Lord, I know that you're just trying to create your image in us. And you, God, were the greatest discipler that ever walked the face of the earth. This is my prayer that you would plant a seed in every heart that's in this building. Don't let one of us escape. Even those who are lukewarm in their walk with you, if they were to get a seed in their heart that would cause them to take someone into their life that they would begin to walk with and teach them about the ways of Christ and disciple them, Lord, and turn them into something mighty for you, they themselves in their own lukewarmness would become on fire for you. Lord, let that seed be planted in every one of our lives that not one of us escape. Let it pound upon our heart. Let it take root within our spirit until we bring someone into our bosom that we begin to care for, no matter how inconvenient, no matter how much we have to go out of the way, no matter what it is that we need to do, we are there for them until they are grounded and walking with you. Help us, Father. That is my prayer, God. I ask it tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Teach us, show us, and help us to do what you've called us to do in this life. And I pray it and ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. God bless you. I love you. You got your homework assignment. Go do it. You're the greatest in the world. Greet one another. Love one another, be kind to one another, speak well of one another, uplift.